I'd like to turn for a moment to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1. I'd like to say that the previous meeting was a challenge to my own soul. It wasn't just for young people, because the hearts of the old are no different than the hearts of the young. We all need to be encouraged. We all need the same exhortations, and we can edify one another. And I'd just like to bring before our hearts a few thoughts, and if it's okay with my brethren to kind of follow along a little bit with the thoughts that our brother had in the previous meeting. Not the same, I trust, but I believe I'd like to try and build upon a little portion of that. And first of all, I'd like to just read a few verses that would introduce this in 1 Corinthians, actually it's chapter 2. And we'll read from verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world was, before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And before I go any further, I'd just like to comment on this a bit for my own soul, and I trust that I can make my thoughts clear. I feel like what we've read here, that I'm before you in fear and much trembling, and my words are not with enticing words as from men's hearts, but I trust that what we can share together here this afternoon will be for our edification. I want to draw our attention, first of all, to the phrase at the end of verse 1, where he speaks there of declaring unto you the testimony of God. That is very important, to understand what the testimony of God is all about. Our brother touched a little bit on it when he gave the account of Peter being addressed by the Lord about, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And when God has started something, he will complete it. And what that testimony of God is all about, that began before the world did. And I want us to realize that God has now revealed it unto us by his Son. It's not something that is just a temporary thing. It's not something that God thought up, shall we say, if we can say that reverently, that he thought up after man was on this world, on this earth. And he saw what man has done, and now he's brought in a testimony. You know, man has taken this testimony, and he has made it what it is not. And we see all about us in Christendom, we see that which has distorted the beautiful and the perfect testimony of God. And man is confused about it. And unless we have the right vision, brethren, and unless we have our focal point right, unless we begin at the right focal point, we'll never understand what the testimony of God is about. As a young person, I had to learn this. I had to go through this process. And the only way I was delivered from it, I might say, was to forget about that which there is and just go to the Word of God and see what He had to say about it. And that's where we have to begin. We have to begin with God and we have to end with God. And if we try to add anything to it, we'll be confused. And so God says here that speaks about the testimony of God. That is a beautiful thing. And He has committed that to a man in the person of the Apostle Paul, who brought it to the saints in much trembling and fear. And not according to man's wisdom, but it was according to the power of God. And God worked in this vessel so that He was even brought him to a situation where he had an infirmity of the flesh that tried him. And it was difficult for him. We're not sure what that was, whether it was his eyes or his speech or whatever it was, but it was something that made his speech contemptible. And so he didn't present himself or the truth of God in a way that commended man, but it commended the Word of God. And you know, it hasn't changed. But that which man has corrupted is still here. And we have to deal with it. As a young person, I can understand what you must go through. And yet, again I say, if our eye is single, our whole body also shall be full of light. And if any man will do my will, he shall know of the doctrine. And so let us remember, there is a testimony of God, and it has never changed. And no matter what man does to it, the Lord says that the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And God is, to this day, is building upon that foundation. He's putting in stones, precious stones. He's putting in souls that are building up that testimony of God. And you and I can be thankful for it. And sometimes it's difficult to understand, just to sort this all of this out when we look in at the whole vision of things out in the world today. But I want to say this, that if your eye is single, your whole body will be full of light. And so we get down here in verse 9, "Eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit." Now we've had much before us in these meetings so far about the work of the Spirit of God. And He is the only one that can reveal these truths to us. "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." And so if we want to understand things, we need to be submissive to Him and allow the Spirit of God to teach us. And if He teaches us, we'll be taught right. And the Spirit of God will only lead man and you and me to Christ. He will not lead us to a system. He will not lead us to anything other than Christ Himself. Let us be assured of that, because this is the testimony of God. And so it goes on to say, "But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." I love that little phrase there, the deep things of God. And in connection with that, let us turn back to this chapter that our brother had before us in the last meetings, which probably provoked these thoughts of mine. And let's go to, let's just make a few comments here. I don't know whether our brother mentioned this or whether I missed it. And if I missed it, maybe somebody else missed it too. But I just want to make reference to the fact in verse 2, where, or rather in verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep. There we get the deep. Launch out into the deep. The fish are in the deep. They aren't at the shore. So if you want to get something for your nets, you have to launch out into the deep. That's Luke chapter 5. Sorry if I didn't mention that. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. So he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Okay? It's in the plural. Let down your nets. I'm sure I'm not telling many here anything new, but I just want to draw this to our attention here. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, the Lord said, let down your nets. And he was willing to fill those nets, regardless of how many there were. But Simon said, okay, I'll let down the net. There was a little lack of faith here, perhaps. And I believe it is with you and me. When we want to search the deep things of God, he would have us let down our nets, and he's going to fill them. But sometimes we, in order to do this, you know, these men, they had to push off from the shore. They had to get away from the shore. And if they weren't willing to get away from the shore, they weren't going to make a good catch. And sometimes you and I, we aren't willing to press off from the shore too far. And as a result, we tend to hang on to a little bit of the earth so that we don't just go out in faith into the deep. You know, we've all seen children that have been put into a pool to teach them to swim, and they're very reluctant to let go of the edge of the pool. And we might, as parents, say, come to daddy or come to mommy, and they won't let go. They just are afraid to launch out into the deep. And so, consequently, they take longer and longer to learn something. They'll take longer, they'll never learn to swim, just hanging on to the shore, hanging on to the edge of the pool. So they have to trust. They have to trust. And so they'll let go, and sure enough, their parents will catch them. They won't let them sink, as we had before us in type here this afternoon. The Lord will not let us sink. And so we have to learn to launch out into the deep. You want to know what the deep things of God are? Then let go of the shore. Just get away, let go of the world, and let the Lord teach us. Another verse we'll turn to in this connection is in 1 Timothy. I don't want to take up too much time because this is an open meeting and I want to leave lots of time for someone else. But in 1 Timothy chapter 4, let's read from verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in peace, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now there is a work for you and I to do in this testimony of God in this world. And he has, since Christ has gone back into heaven, he has sent down gifts for men. And these gifts are men. And He puts them here for the building up of the church, for the edifying of the body, that there might be growth in you and me. And we're told another place, despise not prophesying. Don't despise the gifts that God has given us, regardless of who it might be. It might be, you know, in our local assemblies, they may be very small. There may not be what you say is a lot of gift. But if God has put someone there, maybe he's put you there. And you say, I can't speak. Well, you know, Moses said the same thing. And so did Jeremiah. So does Ezekiel. They're young men. But God says, I'll be your spokesman. And so if you and I have a understanding, even a little understanding of what the testimony of God is about, and we want to be a help in that testimony, and I'm speaking a lot here to the young men, because they're the ones that are going to be here if the Lord doesn't come, and are going to carry on the testimony of God. Then be exercised about it now. Do something about it now. And I don't say you have to be forward in this, but give thyself give thyself to reading. And this, I understand, in its full, proper sense, is the public reading of the Word of God, and that is the assembly reading meeting. Don't despise it. Don't despise these little things, these little small assemblies you come from. It's a testimony of God. It is. And if we carry on in that, God is glorified. God is honored. And the Lord Jesus will not let us sink. He will maintain it for his glory. It may be as weak, the Lord Jesus said, or it is said in, yes, he said into Philadelphia, he said, thou hast little strength, but thou hast kept my word and not denied my name. Is that important? It is to him. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, not haphazardly. Holy to them. I trust the young men will listen in this. And the sisters too, because the sisters can be a help in this. They can help the young men by leading them in the right direction and encouraging them. You know, it's not just for the young men, it's for the sisters too. That the Word of God is there for us to meditate upon and give ourselves wholly to them. We thank God for godly young sisters as well as godly young men. Because God will not despise that. Man may, but God will not. So we're told to take heed to these things that we have heard. We're told not to neglect the gift that is in us. And each one of us sitting in this room here this afternoon has a gift. You might not know what it is, but ask God to show you and go on from there. If he knows your heart that it is, that you want to please him, he'll show you what to do. It may be a little, but that's all right. Because if it's little and God is in it, it's much. So do what God has put in your hand to do and continue in it and go from there. A man once said, when I don't know what to pray for, I commit it to the Lord and I do the next thing. Whatever that is, you just go on. Because if you commit your ways unto the Lord, he will direct your steps. I say this to my own soul because I've neglected that so much in my life. But as we get older, we realize more and more that it is true after all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Doctrine is important because it's concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And it's the doctrine. It's not doctrines, it's the doctrine. It's all one. And it's concerning the testimony of God. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself. It's important to do this first, to feed our own souls. We've been told many times as young people and as older ones too, don't read for others, read for yourself. Feed your own soul first and get established in these things, and remember that it is God that speaks to us when we read his word. And when we go to the word of God and read it, we read it with God. We read it with God. As was mentioned to us, we take it and it's God speaking to us. Oh, that we might recognize this more. You know, sometimes we take it up hurriedly and we read a portion and we put it down and we say, I've done my duty. Today, now I can go on. What have we read? Meditate upon these things. You know, the truth of God gets down into our souls by meditation. Not by through the head. It gets in through the eyes, through the ears, and it gets down into the soul, and the soul is a habitation of the Spirit. And that's where we get the truth of God, and then we can walk in it. But it's got to get down in there through meditation. And meditation isn't just transcendental. Meditation is sitting in the presence of God and letting him talk to us. And think about it. You know, the little word in the Psalms that means stop and think about it. Selah. And there's another word there too that's, if I can find it here a minute, I think it's in Psalm chapter 11, I believe. We'll find out when we get there. No, it's not 11. It's 9. Verse 16. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgeon, Selah. What does that mean? Higgeon means, in my margin, means meditation. And Selah means stop and think about it. And so when we read the word of God, we should remember this. Higgeon, meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them. Selah, stop and think about it. Let this characterize you and me in our souls, regardless of what our age might be. I encourage you young brothers to do this, and the sisters too, and also my older brethren as well. Because we're all building on that foundation, and that has to do with the testimony of God.